This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. The state of Utah has about 3 million people, and a third of them live in one valley. The valley is home to the state capital, Salt Lake City, and a bunch of other small cities and towns that over time have grown together into one big mass. One of the towns amid the sprawl is Midvale. Producer Emmett Fitzgerald recently took a trip to Midvale, Utah to visit a mobile home park.
I am standing outside of the Applewood community.
Applewood is a small mobile home community for seniors.
It's a very quiet community.
Except for that weed whacker.
Let's see, should I use the side entrance or the front entrance? Hello!
Come on in! Come on in!
This is Charlene Stoven. Charlene's home is immaculate. She has spotless white carpeting from wall to wall and all this modern furniture that's been carefully color coordinated. And it's really spacious inside. She says that when people first walk in, they seem surprised that a mobile home could be so nice. They'll say,
"This is a home." And I'm going, "Yeah. It's a manufactured home and it is built stronger and better than 90% of these little tract homes that you find." But it's hard for people to get past this tunnel vision of trailers and trailer trash.
Charlene bought her mobile home, or manufactured home, in 1994. She was divorced, her kids were grown up and out of the house. She wanted to buy her own place, but she couldn't afford a tract home in the suburbs.
When I bought, I was just excited to think, I can actually now have a beautiful home that I can afford.
And Charlene found what seemed like the perfect spot, a small, quiet mobile home park with an empty lot.
But it wasn't actually perfect. The same dynamic that made this housing situation great for Charlene also made her vulnerable, because the mobile home was hers, but the land underneath it wasn't.
Part of the paradox at the heart of manufactured housing is that it's precisely the thing that makes it so affordable that also makes this a highly insecure form of housing.
This is Esther Sullivan, a sociologist at the University of Colorado, Denver, who studies the relationship between poverty and housing. She says that about a third of mobile homeowners live in parks like Applewood, where they rent a plot of land for their home. She calls this arrangement halfway home ownership because it's filled with all this uncertainty.
Residents in parks basically live at the whim of the property owner, so they are subject to oftentimes poor and shoddy maintenance, ever-increasing rents, and eventually they can be subject to park closure and redevelopment with very little notice.
One day in 2011, Charlene came home and found a letter.
"We all received this letter. Your rent is now going up $89 per month, and in 6 months, it's going to go up another $89 per month." And we all went ballistic. Who can afford 89? And then another 89. We're seniors, we're on limited income. Are you kidding?
They managed to negotiate the increases down to $70 each. But still, in a 6 month period, the rent for each lot went from $320 to $460. And rumors started swirling that the increases might just be the first step in a plan to force them out. And so Charlene started digging into what was going on, and pretty soon she discovered that the new landlords had submitted a plan to the city to build a three-story apartment complex right on top of Applewood.
Then we understood why they were trying to financially evict us.
But Charlene wasn't just going to up and leave. She'd have to figure something out. She talked to some local community organizers who advised her to start a homeowners association.
So our first meeting was at a carport. I can't remember which carport, but one of the carports here we all met, decided this is what we needed to do to save ourselves. And I, of course, became president.
Of course.
Whoopee. And I thought, okay, what do I do now? I'm clueless.
But she kept asking people for help, and little by little, they started rallying people to their cause. The residents started a petition to save Applewood and got over 2,600 signatures. Charlene testified before the mayor and the city council and told them,
"If we allow this, guess what? You're going to have 56 homeowners that will be homeless. And what are you going to do with us?"
Charlene and the other residents of Applewood fought for several years to stay in their homes. There were a lot of twists and turns and late nights and a whole lot of emails. But eventually, after a lot of public pressure, the development company gave up on the project and decided to put Applewood up for sale.
And when Charlene heard that, she remembered an organization that she thought might be able to help them out. It was called ROC USA.
ROC stands for Resident-Owned Communities, and we help homeowners in mobile home parks buy their communities as co-ops.
This is Paul Bradley, the president of ROC USA.
So we're a national network of just over 220 communities, 14,000 homeowners, and we're operating with co-ops in 15 states.
When Charlene called Paul Bradley, things were not looking good for Applewood. The land had already been sold to two new developers for $4.8 million.
But Charlene and Paul approached the new owners and explained the situation. They talked about how difficult it would be to move their homes and asked if the new owners would be willing to sell the park to the residents.
And they said, we didn't realize you wanted to purchase the property, but if you want to and you can do it within the next couple of months, we'll sell it to you. Otherwise, if we're going to own it, we're eventually going to close it down.
Buying a mobile home park worth at least $4.8 million seemed like a very tall order for the residents of Applewood. Individually, no one in the park could even come close to getting a mortgage for that kind of money. But together, as a co-op, the financial picture was different. ROC USA was willing to give the residents a very low interest loan for $4.6 million. And they got additional help from a low-income housing firm in Utah called the Olean Walker Housing Loan Fund.
So between it all, we finally come up with the $5 million that we needed. And on February 9th, we signed, and we own the land.
After 4.5 years of fighting for their little piece of ground, the land officially belongs to the Applewood Homeowners Cooperative.
Charlene is also relieved, but the stress hasn't gone away completely. They own the place now. They've got a co-op to run and bills to pay.
Before, it was fighting to gain the land. Now it's a whole different set of pressures of just getting this running smoothly.
The co-op is going to be a lot of work, but at least for now, people are glad to be a part of it and to finally own the land under their homes together. 99% Invisible is Delaney Hall, Kurt Kohlstedt, Katie Mingle, Sharif Youssef, Avery Truffleman, Emmett Fitzgerald, Taryn Mazza, Sean Rial, and me, Roman Mars. Edited for radio by Vika Aronson. We are a project of 91.7 KALW and Radiotopia. Find out more at 99pi.org.